Radio 4. Now it's 7:45 and we present Saturday Night Theatre.
The Deep End by Alan Downer, with Neil Dixon as Richard Hammond and Rosalind Adams as Paula. The Deep End.
Oh, that hurts, Paula.
It's supposed to make it better.
Who says?
It's one of the basics of folk medicine, isn't it? If you've got a black eye, you put a stake on it.
Well, it's not doing anything for mine.
Ah. Oh.
Apart from which, it's a hell of a waste of stake.
This one's over.
Over? How do you mean?
You know, over. Surplus to requirements, going begging, that sort of over. Imogen can't come.
Eh?
I knew you'd forget. Richard, we're giving a barbecue this evening. That's why Martin's spending the night with Granny.
Ow!
Sorry.
Oh. Who's coming?
Well, as I said, Imogen can't make it. Desmond phoned this afternoon. She's off on one of her jaunts.
She's only just got back from the last one.
You know Imogen. Anyway, that means we'll be five. Dear old Desmond.
Some say. He gets no encouragement from me. Desmond is a kind of pop-up book. Every page you turn, there he is in glorious 3D, drinking you out of house and home. Who else?
Piers Dupoy?
Oh, God, not Piers. He'll spend all evening trying to flog us a new house. That's when he's not following you around, rippling his muscles and oozing charm.
Well, never mind. Louise is also coming, and she'll flash her big blue eyes and flawless teeth at you, so...
Sounds like a fun time for both of us. Sweetheart, you have to press quite so hard.
Sorry, it's very painful.
It hurts like hell.
It looks pretty spectacular, too. It's all the colours of the rainbow.
Look, Paula, can we... You know, play it down with them.
Oh, you mean tell them you walked into a door? Why?
Well, I don't want to go into all the gory details.
Sweet man. Ego trips just aren't your style, are they?
Well...
There. Torture over. Now, I must go and get changed.
Perhaps they won't ask.
Won't ask? Ha! Piers, this is Louise. Louise Cabot.
How do you do?
She runs the beauty salon in French Lane.
Ah, yes.
And Louise, this is Piers Dupoy, who is estate agent, Dupoy, Rousseau and Day.
Hello.
And who will doubtless make it his business during the course of the evening to sell you a new flat.
Paula.
He also takes aerobics classes, which I attend, so he's very, very fit.
Who is?
Oh, Desmond.
Well, you can't be talking about me. I'm on my last legs. Need a crane to lift me out of the bath. Some flowers from Imogen. With her deepest apologies for letting you down.
There wasn't any need. This is Desmond, folks. Desmond Dean, who's a big wheel in import-export. Louise, Piers, Desmond.
Hello, hello. Hello.
His wife is off this evening on holiday. Where's she going this time, Desmond?
The Seychelles.
Oh, lucky her. She'll come home with a marvellous tan.
Oh, where's his nibs?
Mixing cocktails.
Oh, thank heaven for that. I haven't had a tincture since lunchtime.
Oh, incidentally, all of you.
Yeah?
He'd rather you didn't notice his black eye.
He's got a black eye.
Well, how did he get that?
In the course of duty.
Centeneering.
And it's a real beaut.
Well, I take my hat off to Richard.
Yes.
He does it all for nothing, you know, out at all hours and all weathers. So we can sleep safe in our beds.
Evening all?
Ah, here he is, the hero of the hour. Merciful heavens, Richard, how did you get that shiner?
Thanks, Desmond. I knew I could count on you.
And one for me. I think that's it. Has everybody got one?
Yes, sir.
Yes, thank you.
Then cheers.
Cheers.
Good health to you.
Mmm, that's good.
It's very refreshing.
Has it got a sting in the tail?
No, this is not the lethal version.
Oh.
Always seems to me like bad PR for people to be nabbed for drunken driving on the way home from the house of a centenaire.
I'm not driving.
Oh, shut up, Desmond.
Desmond lives just up the road.
Yes, Blanche Pierre, big house set back from the road. You probably passed it on your way up.
Yes, I did. A very Des Res.
Well, it's too big for the two of us, really. It always was. Still, it's home. Now then, young Richard... Tell us about this eye.
It's very boring.
Oh, no, no, no. Get on with it, Richard.
Well, it happened this afternoon. I was just passing the supermarket in King Street when there was this sort of scuffle behind me, and two chaps came belting out of the door and ran off.
Good Lord.
Then somebody shouted, "Stop thief."
No,
they would, wouldn't they?
So I set off in hot pursuit.
Well, I'd have run for cover.
Me too.
Anyway, you know what St. Helier's like on a Friday in July.
Oh, no,
the
precinct
was packed with shoppers. Mm. So the two yobbos were making fairly slow progress, and I caught up with one of them.
Heavens.
I'd got my warrant card out by this time and tried to shout that I was a police officer. Mm. But what with my stutter, which I'm sorry to say is a good deal more marked when I get excited, I hadn't achieved the word police before I got a fist in the face.
Oh, what a
which sent me flying and my warrant card flying too.
Oh, dreadful. It gets better.
This made me a little bit angry.
No, I think so.
I picked myself up and went after them again. I'd almost...
The man deserves a medal.
Well, by this time, they'd reached the end of the precinct, and one of them turned left into Halkett Place, yes, while the other kept straight on into Queen Street.
Yeah.
I decided to go after the first guy. He was the one who'd hit me.
Oh, did you catch him?
I got him round the knees, rugby fashion.
Well done!
And that's when he hit me again.
Oh, no.
A right hook, bang in the eye.
Well, at least you got him.
It was all a bit ignominious, really. There I was, struggling to hold him down, with my eyes streaming with tears, yelling for somebody to call the police. Finally, a constable did arrive. A small boy came up with my warrant card, and the supermarket manager hove into view, asking, please, could he have his money back?
Oh, well, that's typical. Absolutely.
How much have they pinched?
About £6,000, it transpired.
Oh, that's not bad for an afternoon's work.
And did you recover the money?
No, it wasn't on my bloke, unfortunately.
Ah, now the other chap must have had it.
Hey, well, did they use guns?
Oh, yes, the usual rigmarole. Masks over their faces, the lot.
Well, you could have been shot. Oh,
they were probably replicas.
Huh.
You mean when you got your man, he didn't have the gun on him either?
He had nothing on him. His pockets were empty, or so it appeared. A more thorough search later at the station produced a crumpled unemployment signing on card, which showed that he's from Southampton, and his name is Ronald Hazel. So far, that's all we know.
Better than nothing.
Yeah. So, what happens now?
Well, theoretically, I should have handed the whole thing over to the duty centenaire in St. Helier, since the crime was committed on his patch. But he said since I'd made such a monumental mess of things so far...
Oh, charming.
He'd like me to take the case over.
Which means that Richard won't only be the principal witness, he'll also be presenting the case at the committal proceedings and then appearing later in the Royal Court.
Oh, well
Assuming we get that far.
Oh, but surely, isn't it an open and shut case?
Hazel says he didn't do it.
Oh.
He says it's a case of mistaken identity.
Rubbish!
Not entirely, Louise. I did lose sight of him momentarily when he turned the corner into Halkett. But there's no doubt in my own mind I got the right man. Anyway, we sent his fingerprints to the criminal records office, so we should know by tomorrow whether he's got form, and we'll proceed from there.
Oh, you mean you'll give him a burst of the old third degree? Get your own back for the black eye.
It doesn't quite work like that, Piers. The interrogation's in the hands of the States of Jersey Police. I'm just allowed to sit in.
Any chance of a refill, old boy?
Sorry, Desmond.
Thanks.
Paula, how long have you been living here now?
10 years.
We moved in when we got married.
It was my dream house, just what I'd always wanted.
Aww.
I seem to remember you got it for a very reasonable price, too.
Piers' office handled the sale.
Yeah, I was the junior partner in those days. It had been on the market for quite a while, I remember. Can't think why. Then the moment we sold it to you, we got a much better offer from another client.
You can't win them all, Piers, sorry.
No. Anyway, I'd say you're sitting on a little gold mine now. All that's missing is a view of the sea.
Actually, Piers, there is another thing missing. And we're going to rectify that, aren't we, Richard?
If you say so.
We're going to build a swimming pool.
Oh,
a pool? Where?
Over there. We don't need that bit of lawn, and the roses have never been much cop. We could fit quite a decent one between the yew hedge and that tree.
Sounds marvellous.
Well, what about my rockery?
Oh, I'm sorry, Desmond, that'll have to go.
How dare you? I built that rockery with the sweat of my brow.
Yes, you chose the wrong day to come over and introduce yourself.
It was soon after we moved in. Paula and I were struggling with this rockery.
Richard was determined to have one.
And Desmond turned up and gave us a hand.
Ah.
I've never seen anyone work so hard. He and the wheelbarrow were just one big blur.
All day.
Well, I had to show willing. I mean, what else are neighbours for?
And exactly. Now you're going to dismantle it all again.
Afraid so.
I promise it'll be worth it, Richard.
Will it? Well, the beach is only a few minutes away.
You've got a pool?
Ah, only for Imogen to revolve beside in the summer.
Well, I think it'll help Martin with his swimming. He's not quite 5, and he finds the waves rather daunting. He'd be much happier in a pool.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, they're an expensive luxury. They've got... Good grief, is that the time? I promised Imogen faithfully I'd phone at 9. Do you mind if I...
You know where it is?
Yes.
What time's she leaving, Desmond?
10.
Well, she could have come over.
Yeah, well, you know Imogen. I mean, when she packs, it's not everything but the kitchen sink. The kitchen sink goes as well.
Oh, Desmond. Now, who's promoting? One hot chocolate.
Ooh, thanks. What kept you? I've been in bed for the last 10 minutes.
I phoned Granny.
Ah. What did she have to say?
Martin behaved impeccably and beat her hollow at Snakes and Ladders. By Jove, you're taking up all the bed.
Oh, all right. Lights out?
Well, why not? Richard.
What?
You are in favour of this pool, aren't you?
If it's what you want.
And how about phoning some builders in the morning, getting some quotes?
Okay. Oh, can't, sorry, not tomorrow. I'll be sitting in on this interrogation.
All day?
Could be. Dave's inclined to play it by the book.
Who's Dave?
Detective Sergeant Dave Michel, BSc Economics.
Where?
He's the man in charge. Oh, and young Le Pape will be there, I expect.
First of all, I'm required to remind you that you're not obliged to say anything unless you wish to do so, but what you say may be put into writing and given in evidence. You have a criminal record, Mr. Hazel.
Not me.
It's here in black and white. Established beyond a shadow of a doubt by one of the latest miracles of technology, the computer. So shall we proceed? Since we've established you've done this kind of thing before, why don't you come clean about yesterday?
Because I didn't do it.
Oh, come on, Hazel. You were running from the scene of the crime.
I was running for a bus.
There are no buses in the vicinity of Halkett Place. Besides, you had no money in your pockets.
It must have fell out in the struggle.
You emptied your pockets before doing the job to make identification harder. Why not just admit it?
It's not true.
And you're completely innocent?
Yeah.
So why didn't you stop when this engineer shouted after you?
I didn't hear him.
You resisted arrest.
I didn't know I was being arrested. All I know is this guy suddenly comes up from behind and grabs me round the knees. He wasn't in uniform. Could have been anybody. I told him to let go and he wouldn't. So I hit him.
Yes.
And where's the money from this robbery, eh? Where's your evidence? You haven't got any, have you? It's his word against mine.
The word of a centenaire against the word of a known criminal. Who do you think they'll believe in court?
Look, mate, I'm innocent. I didn't do it, right? I'm on holiday.
Alone?
Yeah.
When did you arrive?
What's today?
Saturday, all day.
Day before yesterday.
And you arrived on Thursday, how?
Eh?
By sea or air, from England, France, Abu Dhabi?
By ferry, from Portsmouth.
On Thursday?
Yes.
That's clever. You see, Ron, there were no ferry sailings to Jersey on Thursday. From Portsmouth, Weymouth, or anywhere else on the mainland. Nor on Tuesday or Wednesday, either.
They're on strike. It's all in the papers.
So, have another think.
I'm saying nothing.
Where are you staying, Mr. Hazel?
One of them bed and breakfast places.
What's it called?
Can't remember.
All right, then, the name of the street.
Come on, Ron, you must know where it is.
I know where to find it, that's good enough for me.
You're stalling, aren't you?
Buying time for your mate.
He won't get off the island, Ron.
It's all over, bar the shower.
So let's have it, Ron, the truth.
Bastards.
Rightio, then, something. We'll have to start all over again. How did you come to Jersey? He's as guilty as hell, Richard.
I agree. Why can't he just admit it? Save all the hassle.
The case against him isn't all that strong. He knows it.
Oh, come on, Dave. He was running from the scene of the crime. He resisted arrest. He's got a criminal record.
Circumstantial. I like everything nice and tidy. Anyway, before you actually charge him, wouldn't it be advisable to establish a few more facts?
Like what?
Well, for a start, it'd be nice to get an ident on Hazel's mate. Better still, lay our hands on him with the money still in his possession.
Oh, yes.
These things do happen. Hazel may sing. If he doesn't, we've still got the description you gave us on chummy number 2. Ah. Blonde, stocky, early 20s, wearing blue denim jeans and a brown jacket. Which is pretty general, I know, but it narrows the field. Got the Southampton police checking on Hazel's known associates. If they turn up one who answers description, we're in business.
And if he's still on the island?
Even as we speak. The pap is making a tour of the local bed and breakfast places with a photograph of Hazel. If his mates hold up in one of them, Bob's your uncle.
Dave, there are hundreds of bed and breakfast places in St. Helier alone.
So what's the hurry? We'll get there in the end. I'm a firm believer in the efficacy of the system. Thorough groundwork, standard procedures. Perspiration rather than inspiration. All that. Ah, not exactly the way you like to work, I gather, but we can't all be Sherlock Holmes, can we? Excuse me. Sorry, Michelle. Huh? Oh, yes. Hold on, please. It's a Mr. Piers Dupuy for you.
Sorry to rush you both like this, but this kind of property comes on the market once in a blue moon. And knowing the sort of thing you're looking for...
We weren't looking for anything,
but no, but we were discussing properties last night, weren't we? Well, this just seems so ideal for you, I thought I'd give you first option.
Thanks.
You say it's the wing of a house?
It's a wing of one of the finest houses in Jersey, Paula. Set on the northernmost tip of the island. It's entirely self-contained, beautifully appointed and decorated, set in its own grounds. It's palatial. And there's a swimming pool you can have the exclusive use of.
What's the catch?
There is no catch.
There's always a catch, Piers.
All right, I suppose it's that the main house is occupied by the present owner, Mrs. LeBeau.
Marigold LeBeau?
The very same.
The name rings a bell.
She's a public benefactress. Set up a foundation years ago, the Mark LeBeau Foundation, named after her dead husband.
Of course.
Yes, every year it provides quite vast amounts to various local charities.
What sort of a woman is she?
Well, you'll find that out after we've viewed the place. She's invited us to coffee.
There.
Thank you.
Help yourselves to cream and sugar.
Thank you. It smells great.
Oh, and do tuck into the biscuits, all of you. You haven't wasted any time, Mr. Dupuy. I hadn't expected things to happen quite so quickly.
Well, Mr. and Mrs. Hammond are personal friends of mine. And,
oh, please don't think I'm complaining. I'm looking forward to having someone to live in the West Wing at long last. I don't know whether Mr. Dupuy has explained, but I had it refurbished when it seemed that my son Ben and his family would be coming back to Jersey. Mm-hmm. But he now has a demanding job on the mainland, so I've decided to look elsewhere for tenants. It seemed a shame that the place should sit empty any longer.
You live alone, Mrs. LeBeau?
Oh, Marigold, please. Yes, I have a housekeeper who comes in every day, but, well, since my husband died, I keep pretty much to myself. You've had a good look round. Do you like it?
Oh, it's like a palace.
Well, it was conceived on the grand scale. It was the old manor house of Sorel, you know. And there's been a house on this site right through since Norman times. Of course, the present buildings are quite recent. They date back to my late husband's great-grandfather. And they do have a certain style.
They do indeed. I know as a prospective purchaser I shouldn't really say this, but... I'm sure the property would fetch much more than you're asking.
Oh, I'm not interested in the money. It's time there was some young life going on at Peacock's. It's been a mausoleum for long enough.
I can see why it's called Peacock's.
Yes, my husband thought them such beautiful birds. We've always kept a pair. So, that's what we called the house. Have you a family?
One boy, Martin. He's nearly five. He's at nursery school in the mornings. He starts school properly in September.
Oh, he'll love it here. Children invariably do. So much space to run wild. Does he swim?
Not yet, no.
A sore point. So far, he's a bit scared of the water. Mind you, he's only been in the sea. The waves must look very big when you're his age.
Oh, he'll soon learn in the pool. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm rather taking things for granted, aren't I? I must give you time to make up your minds. Let me just say that I hope very much you'll say yes.
Well, didn't I say it was ideal? And an absolute snip at the price. You'd be idiots not to take it.
How much would we get for our house?
Well, as a matter of fact, I was looking through the file before you arrived, and I reckon you've got a purchaser all lined up.
Already?
You are quick off the mark.
No, it isn't quite like that, Paula. As I mentioned to you last night, when you bought the house, there was somebody else interested. Very interested. They just got in a fraction too late. And when they failed to purchase, they asked to be given first option if the property ever came up for sale again. 10 years ago, of course, and things could have changed. But if they're still desperate to buy, I reckon you could name your own price.
Crikey, it's all too good to be true. Isn't it, Paula? Paula?
I don't want to move.
Why not? Didn't you like the house?
Oh, I loved it, and the grounds. Out of this world.
I don't know. It's just...
What?
Well, I like it where we are. I've been blissfully happy there for the whole of our married life. Oh, you think I'm mad, don't you, both of you? Out of my tiny mind. I am awake. You can put the light on.
Righty-ho.
What's the time?
20 past midnight. And a fray at the disco.
Not again. Bad?
Couple of bloody noses. All part of life's rich tapestry. Now, don't think I'll bother with pyjamas tonight.
I do love you, you know. Not every husband would be so understanding.
Oh! You mean about peacocks?
Mm-hmm.
You did turn it down, then?
Yes. I phoned Piers at lunchtime.
Yeah?
Spoke to Marigold.
And?
Well, she sounded disappointed. Oh, God, I'm a selfish cow, aren't I? I deprive Marigold of a little human company, Martin of a marvellous environment to grow up in, and you of a once-in-a-lifetime financial coup.
Oh, blow the money.
Yeah, but also I can stay in this perfectly ordinary house in a perfectly ordinary setting. Doesn't make sense. Do you mind dreadfully?
Of course I don't.
Scout's honour. You're sweet. And gentle. And kind and considerate.
And sexy.
All do.
You know, you mustn't worry about this peacock's business, you know. We're very happy here. We'll build our pool for Martin to splash around in. And we'll forget the peacocks ever happened.
Okay. Hey, did you see that letter for you downstairs? Did you read it?
No, not yet.
Hadn't you better read it? We can stop it. Listen, it was delivered by hand, pushed under the door.
Can't it wait, Paula?
First things first, could be important.
All right. As it happens, I brought it upstairs with me. Doesn't look vastly important. Probably a butcher's bill or something.
I paid the butcher.
I said or something.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
What is it? What's it say?
Listen to this. About Ronnie Hazel. Let him go or else...
Or else what?
That's all it says. Let him go or else. Did you say it was pushed under the door?
Well, I assume so. There's no stamp.
But you didn't see who delivered it?
No, I didn't.
Pity. But it's got to be Hazel's buddy, hasn't it? Chummy number two. And that means he's still here on the island.
Someone just walked over my grave.
I wonder if he left any fingerprints on this. It's ordinary writing paper. Of course, you can buy it anywhere,
Richard?
But...
What could he do?
Oh, he won't do anything. These people never do.
And Hazel?
What about him?
Well, is there any chance you'll be letting him go?
Sorry, sweetheart. I charged him this afternoon. And the committal proceedings are fixed for next Wednesday.
13, 14, 15.
Hello?
Hello, Desmond.
What on earth are you doing?
There, shush a minute. I'm just measuring for the pool. 16. 17.
Oh, you're going ahead, then.
Oh, we most certainly are. 18, 19 and a half. It won't be a bad size, either. We can go from here up to within a yard of the tree.
Splendid.
How's Imogen? Any news?
Yes, got a card yesterday. Picture of a rather rude-looking coconut thing that looks rather like a lady's bottom. Apparently they're unique to the Seychelles. Just as well, if you ask me. How's Richard?
Oh, thrilled to bits. He phoned a few minutes ago. It was the committal proceedings today against the supermarket thief, and the judge decided the case should go to the Royal Court.
Splendid.
He also set bail at £10,000. So since no one came forward with the readies, Mr. Hazel will spend the next few months safely under lock and key at Lamoille Prison. Yes, all we have to worry about now is chummy number two. Did Richard tell you we got a threatening letter?
No, he didn't. What did it say?
Let Hazel go or else.
Good grief. Well, that's not very nice.
No. I mean, if the man's crazy enough to write that sort of letter, he's crazy enough to, well, go further, isn't he?
Well, could be,
I
suppose.
Just because we're so isolated here. Apart from your house, and you're half a mile away, I could be shouting for help till I was blue in the face. There's not a soul to hear.
Oh, doesn't bear thinking about, does it?
No.
Still, look on the bright side. Could just be an empty threat, couldn't it? The world is full of pretty strange people, which reminds me of the reason I dropped in. Is Richard coming to the Buffaloes due on Saturday?
I think he was planning to. Why?
Well, as you know, we usually go together. And this time, it's his turn to drink. Lucky beggar. And my turn to drive. So if he is coming, tell him I'll pick him up about 7, okay?
Right.
And now I must away.
Oh, that'll be Martin, home from school. I've got a friend who collects him and drops him off. Uh-huh. Oh, Lord, why does everything happen at once?
Look, would you like me to take that while you're attending to Martin?
Oh, well, thanks, Desmond. Yes, if you wouldn't mind, it could be the builder. Bye, Val, thanks. Well, how was school today?
I did a drawing of a horse.
Oh, did you now?
But Miss Jones thought it was a camel.
Oh, dear. Well, perhaps she needs glasses.
She's got glasses already.
Well, then she's clearly no judge of art. Oh, look. There's Uncle Desmond come to meet us. Say hello.
Hello, Uncle Desmond.
Hello, young man.
Was it the builder?
No, I'm afraid it wasn't.
So who was it?
It was, listen, Martin, there's some of Mummy's homemade lemonade in the garden. Why don't you just,
Yes. The jug's on the garden table. Be a big boy and help yourself.
All right.
Who was it, Desmond?
It was a man's voice. He must have assumed that I was Richard. All he said was, "You were warned. Now you'll have to pay." And then he rang off.
Can you describe the voice, Mr. Dean?
Well, I'd say it was young. And from his general tone, he was, well, let's put it this way. It wasn't a polished sort of voice. But you see, it was all over so quickly. I wouldn't have said he was local.
Right.
Thanks, Mr. Dean. I think that's everything.
Well, in that case, I must go. I've got an appointment over at Oak Choir. Thinking of getting another horse for Imogen. Listen, I'm sorry about all this. I'll maybe look in later. Listen, Paula, if there's any, please don't hesitate.
Chummy number two?
Yeah, it's got to be, hasn't it?
I suppose we're no nearer getting an ident.
The Southampton police have come up with nothing so far?
They've had 3 clear days.
They've doubtless got bigger fish to fry.
These threats are serious, Dave.
Yeah, I know.
Have you established where Hazel was staying?
Not yet. Slow going, I'm afraid.
We don't know much then, do we?
We know he didn't come in by ferry last week because of the strike. We also know he didn't come in by air. His name wasn't on any of the passenger lists.
He didn't swim to Jersey, Dave.
He could have come by boat.
Hmm?
Sailboat? Motorboat?
Yeah, we thought of that. But where do we start? There's hundreds of boats in the marina. Even if Chummy's still holed up in one of them, we've only got a rough description.
You could get the Southampton people to narrow their inquiries down to known associates of Hazel's who have access to boats.
I don't see any mate of Hazel's owning a boat somehow. Still, I've got a contact in Southampton. I'll try the old boy network. See if we can't turn up something.
Thanks, Dave.
In the meantime, though, without wishing to be alarmist, I don't think Mrs. Hammond and the lad should be left alone too much. Do you?
I think you put too much bubble stuff in tonight, don't you?
No, they're big icebergs, and Donald keeps locking me from them.
Poor Donald.
And he gets a black eye just like Daddy. Bang!
Did I hear someone taking my name in vain?
Oh, not really.
Look, Daddy, Donald keeps locking into the icebergs and getting a black eye. Just like you.
Bang. Only for him.
Bang! Bang! Oh, my. Bang!
How do I look?
Oh, come outside and let's have a butcher's. 2 more minutes, Marty, and out you come.
Bang!
Well?
Oh, very handsome.
I still don't want to go, Paula. Of
course you must go. You deserve a night out and you always enjoy the Buffaloes. Relax, have fun. Marty and I'll be fine.
What time's Louise arriving?
As soon as she can.
And you're sure you'll be all right?
2 grown women, of course we will. Oh. There, that's Desmond now.
Now, you've got the phone number.
I have.
And you'll phone at the first sign of any trouble.
There won't be any trouble, Richard. It's all a fuss over nothing. Now go, before your chauffeur starts getting impatient.
Too late. I'll be home about 1, okay?
Okay.
Hello? I love you.
I love you too.
And don't forget, if anything worries you, phone.
I will.
Promise?
Richard, go.
See you later. All right, gentlemen, I'm coming. Bye.
What a carry-on. I'll just see to the phone, Marty, then I'll be with you. Hello?
Hello, Paula. It's Louise.
Yes, Louise.
Listen, something awful's happened. I've crashed the car.
Oh, no. Are you all right?
Well, I'm a bit shaken, of course. I swerved to avoid a blasted dog.
Oh.
The car left the road and ended up its side in a ditch.
Oh, dreadful.
The thing is, I've got to stay with the car till everything's sorted out. And then I ought to see a doctor.
Yes.
So it doesn't look as if I'll be able to make it tonight. Paula, I'm so sorry.
Don't worry about that, Louise.
Isn't there someone else who can come and keep you
company? No, there's no need. We'll be fine.
If you're quite sure.
We'll be fine, honestly. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Oh, well. Okay, young Master Hammonds, time you came out of that bar.
You're stone cold sober, aren't you?
I didn't much feel like drinking, Desmond.
I wish I'd known. It was gone in your car. I could have let my hair down. What's left of it?
Next time, eh?
Damn it, you wouldn't even let me stay to the end. Tapping a watch all the time, throwing me meaningful glances. Like we've been married for 20 years.
I want to get home.
Richard, the night is young. It's barely 11:30.
All the same.
But I tell you what, why don't we stop off at my place and then we...
Something coming up behind. It's a fire engine.
Well, there, hell of a hurry. Where do you suppose they're off to at this time of night?
There isn't much up this way. Except... Put your foot down, Desmond, please.
Hey, play those a bit to your left now, Bert. Yeah, that's right, hold it there.
I got ya. I still think we're wasting our time. Hey, what's that idiot up to?
Hey, somebody stop him, for God's sake. Get him up.
Go! Where the hell do you think you're going?
In there!
Oh, no, you're not.
You don't understand. This is my house.
I don't care whose house it is. You're not going in.
You can't go in, Richard. The place is an inferno.
You'd never get out again.
I've got to try. My wife and son are in there.
Will you listen to me, sir? They're safe. Your wife and son are safe.
Oh, thank God.
Where are they?
Last I saw them, they were down there getting some mugs of strong tea.
Thank you. Thank you!
How do you rate your chances?
Nil. Another hour and it'll be a shell.
And Mrs. Hammond and the boy, they're not hurt?
Bit singed, maybe, and shaken, but otherwise they're okay.
Oh, now listen, I live up the road a little way. Is it all right if I take them home with me?
Help yourself.
There you are, Paula. Ah, get that, Daniel.
Thanks, Desmond.
Can I get something for... Oh.
The little mite's gone to sleep in my arms.
He feels safe with his dad.
Richard?
Oh, a stiff scotch, please. Neat.
Right.
You were right.
At least I'm all in one piece.
I thought I'd lost you.
He was all set to go in there after you, you know. Took Turbus to hold him back.
Oh, Richard.
Well, I felt I had to do something.
There you go. Now here's to the three of you. Cheers.
It's strange, you know. I had an uneasy feeling about tonight. Right from the word go. Just couldn't seem to relax. In fact, if I hadn't known Louise was with you... Oh, my God, Louise! Where's Louise?
No, it's all right. She never made it. She rang up. Her car went in a ditch or something. No, it was just me and Marty alone in the house. Oh. I had a quiet evening, watched a bit of telly. I was in bed by 10, asleep as soon as my head touched the pillow. And suddenly there was a bang and I was awake again. Well, I just knew something was dreadfully wrong. I opened the bedroom door and there was thick black smoke coming up the stairs. I grabbed Marty and ran for the front door. By the time we got clear, the whole of the ground floor was in flames.
Ghastly.
Of course, it's a write-off, isn't it, the house?
Well... The fire chief wasn't very hopeful, I'm afraid.
My dreamer.
You're alive and well, Paula. The two of you. That's all that matters.
I'll say amen to that.
So, Chief, in your view, it was arson.
No doubt about it.
Hell's teeth.
I'll be sending you a detailed report, of course, but from what I've seen already, it's clear how the fire was started. Someone sprinkled paraffin over piles of straw in the garage. What's more, he made no real attempt to cover his tracks. There was an empty jerry can still containing a small quantity of paraffin lying by the hedge.
Figures.
The flames engulfed the car, the petrol tank exploded, and the fire spread into the kitchen and utility room through the connecting door.
You're quite sure of that?
Mr. Hammond, I know my job. I've never been more sure of anything. Now, gents, if there's nothing else...
No, I don't think so.
Oh, and thanks for everything.
Only doing my job. You know where to find me if you want me.
Right. So, Chummy was as good as his word.
That's the way it looks.
Well, it can't be anyone else, can it? Presumably you've no other enemies.
Centineers always make enemies, Dave. But I can't believe any of them hate me enough to burn down my house.
Yeah, so it has to be Chummy, it all fits.
Does it? I mean, don't you find it a massive overreaction?
How do you mean?
Well, if Hazel's convicted for the supermarket job, what does he get, 3 years?
Top whack.
Yet, to prevent that, his mate commits arson, maybe attempted murder. It's out of all proportion.
So we're dealing with a nutcase.
Sorry to interrupt. We just got some bump in from Southampton. They've turned up one known associate of Hazel's, Billy Channon. He's blonde, stocky, in his 20s, and get this, his father owns a boat. And...
Yeah?
During the 3 days, Thursday to Saturday of last week, Billy had the use of the boat and was, so he says, cruising up and down the channel alone.
So he could have been in Jersey.
Right. But there is one complication. Channon and the boat, the Lady Jane, have both been back in Southampton since early Saturday, and that's official.
Then it can't have been him who burnt down my house.
There is a simple answer to that. There were three of them on the supermarket job.
Ah, yeah, of course.
Eh?
Ah, it's pretty much standard procedure these days. Two guys actually do the job, while a third man hangs about outside. As the first two make their getaway, they stuff the takings, guns, masks, etc., anything incriminating, into this third bloke's ditty bag. They dash off one way. He saunters off, all innocent, the other. Yeah, that's the man we're looking for.
Somebody local, then?
Yeah, or doing a summer job.
Ah, it all adds up. He'd have no difficulty passing Jersey Fivers for a start.
And he'd be able to keep close tabs on you. Find out your address and phone number, and buy straw and paraffin without arousing attention. You see, the system's beginning to work.
What now?
You get back to your inquiries, old son. Check with the harbour masters. We want to know about the movements of the Lady Jane.
I thought you'd say that. I'm getting blisters on me blisters. What are you going to do?
Mr. Hammond and I are going to have another go at Ron Hazel. Come on, Richard. Let's strike while the iron's hot. Smoke?
I don't mind if I do. So, what are you after?
A name.
Oh, yeah?
When you did that supermarket...
I didn't do the supermarket.
Oh, come on. You had two accomplices.
Nah.
One's called Channon. Billy Channon. His father's got a sailboat, the Lady Jane. Keeps it moored in Southampton. That's how you both got here. Then there was a third man. He's based on the island. Probably mastermind of the job. That's the name we want.
I'm saying nothing.
He's nutty as a fruitcake, isn't he, your mate? Gotta be. You want to know why?
Look, mate, how many times do I have to tell you?
Because first he writes a threatening letter to Mr. Hammond here, telling him to let you go. Then straight after the committal proceedings, he phones to say, you were warned, look out. And then last night... Know what he did last night? He burned down Mr. Hammond's house.
What?
With my wife and son still in it.
Were they all right?
No thanks to your chum, Hazel. So you see, we're not just talking robbery now. We're talking arson. Attempted murder. We're talking about a 15-year stretch.
I don't know anything about it. Bloody hell, how could I? I'm in here.
His name wrong. Because if we don't get hold of him, PDQ, he's just loony enough to go the whole hog.
Give us his name now, before it's too late.
This is all lies, isn't it? You're lying in your teeth, both of you.
The name of your sidekick, Ron.
I've got nothing to say.
Well, you can't win them all.
Nope. For one moment, though, I thought you'd got him.
So did I. We're right about the boat, that's for sure. You can tell by the look on his face.
And we're right about Channon. And they robbed the supermarket. No doubt about that either.
Yeah. The other thing that struck me...
Yes?
He was horrified when I told him about the arson. Oh, well, not horrified, maybe. That's not the right word.
Mystified.
Yeah. Yeah, that's about the size of it. Mystified, right. Couldn't seem to take it in. Oh, excuse me. Sorry, Michelle. Oh, hello. Yes, yes, hold on. It's your wife.
Ah. Paula? What? Mrs. LeBoaz? Oh, well, that's wonderful, great. And you're speaking from Peacock's now? No, no, of course, I don't mind. See you there later. Bye-bye, darling. Oh, and thank Mrs. LeBeau for me, will you?
What did he say?
He says I'm to thank you.
Oh, I've told you, no thanks are necessary. And not one word more about paying rent. The place was empty. It's yours, free of charge, for as long as you want it.
It really is most generous of you, Marigold.
Then you'll stay?
Please, if you'll have us.
Oh, I'm thrilled.
I think I'm going to cry. Oh, Lord.
What?
I'm so sorry. My son's climbed up into that oak tree. Look, I'll get him down straight away.
Oh, there's no need. He won't do any damage. That tree's marvellous for climbing. It was a great favourite with my son when he was little.
Yes, but
now,
I can't
you
let him
don't run all have to be on your best behaviour. You must think of this as home. Use this wing. Use the grounds. They're yours. Oh, with one exception. You see that folly in the far corner?
Yes.
Well, I should keep away from that. It's not entirely safe. Oh, can you hear them? Even the peacocks are saying welcome.
So,
how's this for style?
Earl Grey and Bath Oliver's on the balcony.
I know. It is a touch regal, isn't it? Needless to say, both tea and biscuits were provided by Marigold. I haven't had time for shopping yet.
Mm.
She's a smashing lady, Richard.
Yes. Dave Michelle was filling me in about her earlier on.
Oh? Ooh.
Yes. He's got an aunt who was a maid here or something back in the late 40s.
And?
Seems she and Mark had one of those storybook marriages. They were blissfully happy together. Mark inherited his father's import-export business, which put them pretty much in the millionaire bracket. And they lived in great style.
She still does.
Yes, but I mean big parties. Hundreds of guests. Marquees, champagne on the lawn, orchestra dancing, all that. Marigold was the toast of the island. And Mark used to go off on these harebrained expeditions.
Like what?
Dave couldn't remember any details, but, well, you know the sort of thing. Up the Amazon in a paper skiff. Across the Sahara on roller skates. Anything, really, just as long as it was dangerous.
What was he trying to prove?
Haven't a clue. But it caught up with him in the end. They had a boat. And one night they both went out on it, and she came back and he didn't.
What happened?
Seems they got caught in a squall. The boat capsized, and he hit his head on something and went overboard. Then the boat sank. The story goes, she held his head above the water till she couldn't hold on any longer.
Oh.
Then, with what strength she had left, she swam ashore. His body was never recovered.
Why on earth should they want to take a boat out if the weather was so filthy?
Maybe Mark thought himself indestructible. He'd come through all those other adventures safe enough.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the end of the idyll. Marigold sent the boy to school on the mainland, established the Mark LeBeau Foundation, and shut herself up out here.
How long ago was that?
About 10 years ago.
And she's lived here alone ever since?
That's right, till now.
Wonder what we did to deserve being allowed here.
Well, everyone has to stop mourning sooner or later.
Yes, I suppose so.
Changing the subject.
Mm-hmm.
About the fire.
Don't remind me.
We have to talk about it, Paula.
Yes, I suppose so. Go ahead.
We're pulling out all the stops, of course. But we're pretty sure that Chummy's still at large. On the island. And it's best if we keep our wits about us.
Hasn't he done enough?
Well, there's no harm in hoping. But the official view is we should keep close tabs on Martin. Since he's the most obvious target.
Oh, Richard.
Where is he now?
With Marigold.
Ah.
She's marvellous with him. They paddled in the pool for ages. You could hear them laughing from here.
And now?
They went into the house. He wanted to go on the piano.
Oh, my word, it's a Steinway. Doesn't she mind?
She seems to be enjoying every minute. He thinks she's the best thing since sliced bread.
Well, I think I'd better go over and rescue her all the same. Okay, now. Say thank you to Marigold and run straight over to Mummy. See how quick you can be.
Good night, Marigold.
Night.
And thank you very much.
Go on, off you go.
Mummy!
Oh, he's an adorable little boy.
He can be very exhausting. You must make it clear when you've had enough.
I will.
Right then, I'll be off. Back to the West Wing. Marigold?
Yes?
Our house is a total write-off. It'll take months to rebuild.
Yes, I realize that.
If we get on your nerves, please say. We'll understand.
I shall scream at the top of my voice and evict you on the spot.
I'm being serious.
Richard, the West Wing is yours for as long as you want it. And I shall count myself very lucky to have you there.
See you then.
Yes. Oh, one more thing.
What's that?
There's a little sandy cove just over the headland. Not many people know about it, and it's fairly inaccessible except from across our land. So if you want to use it over the weekend, assuming the weather holds, do feel free.
We'd love to.
Good. Then I'll pack a hamper and bring it down at lunchtime. We'll have a picnic. And as soon as you've had enough of me, just say, I'll understand.
Hey!
Bravo, Richard. Not a drop spilled.
Pass us the glasses, Paula.
There you go. Oh, champagne and caviar on the beach. Usually pasties and buns.
I've got pasties and buns for Martin. I feel sure he'll be happier with those. But we've got something to celebrate.
What?
You moved into West Wing precisely 2 months ago today.
Crikey, is it that long?
To the day. And for me, the time has just flown. You've breathed fresh life into the place. So, your very good health.
Cheers.
Yes, cheers. And yours.
Now, where are the canapé?
I'll call Martin, shall I? Can't seem to get him out of the water these days.
No, leave him where he is. He's happy enough splashing about down there.
He'll come up soon enough when he's hungry.
I suppose so. Oh, God, this is magic.
Mm.
Sad to think the summer's almost over.
There. Now, help yourselves.
Oh, thanks. Mm. Oh, it's been such a luxury to have the beach all to ourselves. No tourists, not a crisp packet or a Coke can in sight.
It's about the nearest thing to a private beach on the whole of the island. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, we used to skinny dip in the old days from the beach here, or the boat.
Boat?
We used to have a boat.
Yes, but you couldn't get it in here, surely.
Oh, yes. It looks rocky, but there's quite a wide navigable channel. And it's such a sheltered spot, one can anchor here safely in summer.
Now you tell me!
What? Richard's got a boat.
And I've barely used her all summer. If I'd known I could get her in and out of here...
There's always next summer, isn't there?
Well?
West Wing is still yours for the asking. Why don't you reconsider?
You're sulking now, aren't you?
No.
Hey?
I said, no, I'm not.
You are, you know. You've barely said a word since we came up off the beach.
I just don't think you should have said no like that without consulting me.
I have consulted you when West Wing first came on the market.
It is not the same thing.
Why? What's changed?
Well, our house has been burnt down for a start.
It doesn't change anything. Still our house? Our home. In fact, it'll be even better now, won't it? Because we're incorporating a lot of new features to our design and specification, which will make it more our home than ever.
We can incorporate new features till the cows come home, Paula. It's still not going to be a patch on this.
Well, at least it'll be ours. Besides, think of all the complications with the insurance. They'd never wear it.
Oh, yes, they would. I had a word with them.
Oh, did you?
I also had a word with Piers. And evidently those people who got first refusal on the house are perfectly happy to purchase at the full market price and rebuild to their specification. So there are no problems there either. But both ways, we get our money. What are you looking at me like that for?
When did you speak to Piers?
Yesterday.
And when did you sort things out with the insurance?
I did that yesterday too.
Your idea or Marigold's?
Well, I admit Marigold had mentioned something.
I thought as much.
Marigold is a smashing lady. You said so yourself.
Oh, yes. She's a charming, sophisticated, generous lady who is running our lives for us.
Rubbish.
Oh, no, it's not. We are an extension of Marigold's life, an integral part of Marigold's rehabilitation. She is our son, and we revolve obediently around her. Oh, pass me the soap.
There.
I said pass it, not throw it.
Look, okay, there may be a grain of truth in what you say. But it wouldn't have to be like that if we bought the place. We could go our own way then.
Richard.
What?
Now, think hard before you answer. Is that what you really want?
Martin's happy here.
Never mind Martin. What about you?
Oh, sweetheart. I want what's best for both of us.
But you know what I want. It's glorious here. A holiday. An interlude. Oh, and God knows I'm fond of Marigold, and I'll be grateful to her. A friend to her for as long as I live. But
you want to go home?
Yes.
Then that's what we'll do. When it's ready, we'll go home.
Okay, Dave. The Hazel case. We're in the Royal Court in a fortnight. What's the state of play?
Not a lot to report. The Pap and I have been beavering away, but I haven't got much to show for it. Billy Channon's keeping a low profile. Hasn't been on a spending spree. No large sums have been paid into his bank. Ditto with Hazel's girlfriend.
There's a girlfriend, is there?
Ah, yes. And a child. I don't know whether Hazel's the father, but her name's Sandra Edwards. She's 30. She and Hazel have been shacked up for 6 years. I don't know what he sees in her, because she's got a history of mental trouble. Depression. She's also been nabbed in possession of drugs. She claims she had no idea Ron was even coming to Jersey. And she doesn't know Billy Channon.
Has he got a record?
Nothing much. He's a bit of a tearaway, is Billy. Likes living dangerously. Doesn't need the money. His dad's in second-hand cars. Yeah, they're not short of the odd penny. He's been caught for pinching a motor. Has one charge of being drunk and disorderly. Oh, yeah. He was caught once in possession of drugs.
Him and Ron's girlfriend.
Huh?
They've both been caught in possession.
Oh, it's a tenuous link. Lots of young people into drugs these days.
Maybe.
As to the third man, zilch. Are you afraid he'll strike again?
Well, in my shoes, wouldn't you be?
You don't mind a fry-up, Richard, do you?
Of course not.
Poor man comes home from lunch and all he gets is a fry-up. So I'm afraid it was one of those mornings.
What have you been up to?
I took Marty to his new school. He went in beaming from ear to ear. Then I went to see the house.
And?
They hope to have it ready for us by Christmas.
Complete with pool?
Oh, of course.
Great. Shall I lay the table?
Please. I also went to Louise for a massage and facial.
And how's she?
Oh, in fine form. Come of a living daylight, sir. That girl is as old as an ox. She was also a mine of information about the LeBeau family. She went to school with the son. 2801.
One will be lovely.
I think she's got a bit of a thing about him, actually. Showed me photos of them together, aged 14. It seems she saw him a couple of months back. She went all pink at the thought.
She saw him here on the island?
Yes. Over on business, I expect. Louise says he's still associated with the family firm.
Dessert spoons, okay?
Oh, yes. It'll only be ice cream for after.
Right.
Anyway, Louise says Ben was sweet and gentle with beautiful brown eyes.
Takes after his mum.
Well, certainly didn't take after his dad. He wasn't the outdoor type at all. And that, according to Louise, is what led to all the trouble.
Ooh, what trouble?
Ben was caught at school in possession of drugs.
What sort of drugs?
Louise doesn't know. It was all hushed up. You see, all this was coming to a head just before LeBeau Père drowned. And immediately afterwards, Marigold sent Ben to school on the mainland, and that was the end of that. Oh, sorry, I've broken your egg.
Who cares?
Anyway, young Ben used to confide in Louise, and it seems there was a skeleton in the LeBeau cupboard.
Go on.
Well, evidently Ben's grandfather collaborated with the Germans during the occupation.
Any hard evidence of this?
Oh, yes, yes. Evidently, Peacock's was requisitioned by the Germans and used as their headquarters.
For funny sort of collaboration.
No, no, that was just on the surface. Ben said his grandfather had made a deal with the Nazis, letting them use the house in return for business contracts. Also, Mark was left very much alone by the occupying forces, though he was extremely fit and just the type they usually drafted into their workforce. There. Pass the sauce. Come. And if you want hard evidence, Mr. Centenier, sir, Louise says that Peacock's was an integral part of the German plans for Fortress Jersey, and they built a bunker here for protection in case of attack.
There was no bunker here.
Well, maybe it was demolished after the war.
You can't demolish German bunkers just like that. They were made to last, Paula.
Well, then it's here somewhere, Richard. Ben told Louise. By the way, I've invited her to supper this evening. She's never seen the place.
Oh! Paula, get down! It's a rock with a note round it.
What does it say?
Don't testify against Hazel or else. He doesn't give in easily, does he?
I want round-the-clock protection for my wife and son.
We haven't got the men.
Look, you and I both know this guy doesn't make idle threats.
Richard, be reasonable. There's a fortnight till the case opens. You're expecting us to mount a 24-hour watch till then and beyond. It's not on.
Ah, that'll be Paula. I've asked her to phone every hour. Hello?
Hi, it's me.
Oh, hello, sweetheart.
Nothing to report. All's quiet on the Western Front.
Is Martin with you?
I'm collecting him from school in a few minutes. Then we're going over to have tea with Marigold. Her son's just arrived from the mainland.
Good thing there's another man about the place. Look, Paula, you'd better tell Marigold what's happened and explain that I'm trying to arrange for a police watch right around the clock. But if she's not happy about it all, and who's to blame her if she isn't, tell her we'll move out of the West Wing as soon as possible and into a small hotel somewhere. There's quite a good one right opposite the police station. Okay? Paula? Paula?
What's the matter?
She's not answering. Come on!
Well, looking on the bright side. There are no signs of a struggle, no bloodstains, so they only use the minimum of force. Just enough to keep her quiet, overpower her, and get her away.
They?
It takes more than one, doesn't it? Now, even if they put her under in some way, they've got to assume there was a car, someone had to drive it, and someone else had to keep an eye on your wife.
Two men?
Yeah, it seems like Chummy's found a friend. Oh, here's Le Pape. Get anything?
Nothing. Spoke to Mrs. LeBeau and her son. He's over on a visit. They were both in the house when it happened, and neither saw nor heard anything suspicious.
Ah, pity, because the blighters must have come in through these French windows. And they're in full view of the main house.
Dave, I want a word with you. In private.
Right, okay. Check the drive, Lepap. Yeah. You know the drill. Tire tracks, footmarks, anything. If you want me, I'll be in the garden.
Right. Yeah.
Yes, Richard.
You've got to get the truth out of Hazel.
How?
Brute force, if necessary.
Oh, come on, Richard. It's not on.
Damn it, Dave. My wife's been kidnapped.
I appreciate that.
It's got to be by the book.
That's right.
Why? Afraid of losing your pension?
No. At the risk of sounding pompous, it's to do with abuse of the law.
Well, have you got any better ideas?
I've got one, off the record.
What?
Don't testify against Hazel. He's a petty crook. What's so important about getting a conviction?
He's guilty.
I agree. But even if we pull out all the stops, you may not get a conviction. We haven't got a very strong case.
Are you serious?
Also, if Hazel's advocate knows his business, there could be countercharges against you. Wrongful arrest, excessive force. You could be in it up to your neck.
You are serious, aren't you?
I know, it's what I'd do, in your shoes.
No. No way.
Something to do with abuse of the law.
At the risk of sounding pompous.
So, what do we do?
You work on Hazel hard. Today, tomorrow, as long as it takes. He's about the only hope we've got.
All right, Ronald. One more time. What's his name?
I'm saying nothing.
You know what, Sunbeam? You're as loony as he is. You'll get 2 to 3 years for the supermarket job. Less if you plead guilty and tell us what we want to know. But conspiracy to arson, kidnapping, attempted murder, they'll put you away for life.
Oh, what will that do for your girlfriend?
Hey?
Oh, yeah, we know all about Cassandra and the kid. How are they going to manage without you?
It'll kill her, won't it? I mean, let's face it, she doesn't cope all that well as it is.
You leave Sandra out of it.
It's depression, isn't it? Well, that's what it said in the file. History of depression. And then, of course, there's the drugs. See, when a girl gets rough, back she goes again on the cocaine, doesn't she? Twice she's nearly OD'd.
She'd have done it too if you hadn't been there to save her.
And you won't be, will you? From now on.
His name, Ron. What's his name?
You think you're a hard man, don't you? You're tough, rugged, macho.
I get by.
Well, it's not what your probation officer thinks.
Can I have a smoke?
No.
You know what he thinks? Whenever Sandra gets low and then goes back to the dope, you go out and do a job. But you don't do it for the money. No, not really. You do it to get attention. That's why you always get caught. What do you reckon to that?
I know what I reckon. I reckon that's a load of rubbish. I know what's wrong with you, Ron. You're a loser. A born bloody loser. A fool guy. The sort of idiot who'll put himself behind bars forever rather than snitch on his friend.
So, good guy or fool guy, Ron? Which? Because if you want help, you can have it. You've only got to say the word.
I can't. I daren't.
Why not?
Well, they'll kill her, that's why.
Who will? Come on, Ron.
You'll take care of her. And the kid.
You've got my word on it.
Okay.
Now you're making sense.
The truth. Right from the beginning.
Billy Channon phoned me. How did I fancy a few days in Jersey? We'd be sailing over in his dad's boat, picking up a package and sailing home again. The job was worth $1,000 between us and money for old rope.
What was in the package?
Well, I reckon it was drugs.
Go on.
Billy was told to berth here in St. Helier, all nice and official. But, well, we got this bright idea of doing over the supermarket. Seemed like too good a chance to miss. So we anchored in the bay and came ashore in the dinghy. You know the rest.
So who's the third man?
There ain't no third man.
Oh, come on, Ron!
There ain't! It was just me and Billy, as God's my witness... It's the truth.
I suppose you're proud of yourself.
Whatever do you mean, Mother dear?
Oh, don't waste that look of innocence on me, Ben. I've seen it all too often. You did it, didn't you? You and that crony of yours.
Mother, I'm trying to unpack.
Why did you?
You know why. It was a logical development of everything that had gone before.
Kidnapping.
Ah, yes, I see your point. Never miss a trick, do you? But yes, you're quite right. We can't afford to let her go.
You won't even stop short of murder?
Well, we can't, can we? We've got too much to lose.
We?
You're in it as deep as the rest of us.
Where is she now?
In the bunker. Trussed up like a chicken.
Oh.
Why are you taking it so hard?
The Hammonds are my friends.
Okay, then. I'll make it quick.
Look, Richard, I won't stay. In the circumstances, I'm sure you'd rather be alone.
No, but please, have a drink at least. Paula told me you were coming to supper. I forgot. I should have put you off. What'll it be? Gin and tonic?
Please. You must think I'm the kiss of death.
Sorry?
Well, I mean... I was at your house the evening you arrested that man, and I was supposed to be spending the evening with Paula the night your house was burnt down. I don't bring you much luck, do I?
Oh, I'll forgive you. One gin and tonic.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Bad things always happen so suddenly, don't they?
Hmm?
You know, out of the blue. There you are, having a good time, and suddenly... Because it was a nice party, wasn't it, that night at your place? Glorious evening, good company, fun and laughter. You and Paula are planning to build a new swimming pool. The future seems so assured, and then...
Louise,
Yes?
Say that again. About the pool. We were planning to build a pool.
Well, yes, you were, weren't you? And Paula was pointing out where it was going to be. From a yew hedge on one side to a large tree on the other. For Martin to splash around in...
That's it, Louise!
Richard, are you all right?
You've done it. My mind was so full of Hazel and his lunatic accomplice, I was failing to see the obvious.
I'm sorry, Richard, that...
Piers Dupuy.
What about him?
Have you got his home number?
Yes, in my handbag, but...
Don't ask questions. Just get it for me, please.
Okay, Ron. Now, let me get this straight. You and Billy Channon came over here alone. You did the supermarket alone. And neither of you knows, or was aided and abetted by, anyone on this island.
That's right.
So... Who wrote those threatening letters to the centenier? Who burnt his house down? Who's just kidnapped his wife?
I don't know, but it wasn't no mate of mine. Now, can I have that smoke now, please?
Oh, give him a ciggy for Pete's sake. While I exercise my little grey cell.
Here you go.
Oh, tar.
This other job. The pickup.
Yeah?
Tell me more about that.
We were supposed to berth in St. Helier that Thursday night, all kosher. Then, on the Friday night, we would have set off for home again, stopping off on the way to pick up the doings.
Stopping where?
Some quiet spot on the north of the island.
Did it have a name?
Well, not that I know of. It was Billy had all the details.
Damn.
I'll tell you what, though. I could point it out to you on a map.
Piers Dupuy?
Piers, it's Richard Hammond. I want some information.
Yes?
It's about when we bought our house.
Listen, Richard, could I possibly phone you back? I'm just on my way to aerobics.
This is vital, Piers. Paul is being kidnapped.
Kidnapped?
So I need the answers now.
What do you want to know?
When we bought the house, somebody else put in an offer. Do you know who it was?
I'm afraid I don't. It was made through a solicitor. I don't think we ever knew the name of the clients. What I can say is they were very insistent. I'm told they even resorted to bribes. Finally, they accepted the situation, rather ungraciously. But they did insist they should be given first refusal if the house ever came up for sale again. Now, Richard, I told you all this when Westling first came on the market.
And when was that exactly?
The morning you went up to view. Mrs. LeBeau's solicitor phoned first thing that morning, the morning after your barbecue. Said she was looking for a buyer. Coincidentally...
Yes?
It was the same solicitor who represented the clients who wanted to buy your house.
Bingo!
Sorry?
Nothing. But bless you, Piers. Goodbye.
Well?
Louise, it's all coming together. I want you to listen very carefully and pick the bones out of this. Imagine you're Marigold LeBeau.
Yes?
And you have something of great value buried in the garden of my house.
Like what?
I said listen, Louise. Please, you can ask questions later.
Sorry.
You've tried to buy the house and failed. And you've arranged for the first refusal if it ever comes on the market again. But that's all you can do to safeguard your property, whatever it is. So you just cross your fingers and wait. For 10 years, there's no problem. Your belongings are undisturbed. But then I decide to install a swimming pool right on the crucial spot. What do you do?
I don't know. What?
You make me an offer you think I can't refuse.
This place?
At a ludicrously low price. And of course, with full use of the pool. Simultaneously, working on the old belts and braces principle, you send me threatening letters supposedly written by a supermarket thief. So that if I refuse your offer, you can burn down my house. Knowing that suspicion will fall elsewhere. And that you can offer me the West Wing again.
Richard, this is terrible.
You enhance your reputation as a public benefactress while hoping that during my tenancy of West Wing, we all fall in love with the place and decide, after all, to purchase it at your absolutely giveaway price.
Whereupon your house, or what's left of it, will come back on the market.
And you'll buy it and keep your secret safe. Right? But it doesn't work out like that. The idiotic Hammonds, mainly on the insistence of the wife, still refuse to swallow the bait. They plan to rebuild their house
complete with swimming pool. So?
I kidnap Paula.
Yes, Marigold. That is exactly what you do. And still under the smokescreen of a deranged supermarket thief who will stop at nothing to keep his mate out of jail.
I couldn't have done it alone,
no,
could I?
No, no. But you have a son. And he was here at the time of the kidnapping.
He was also here on the night of the fire.
Eh?
I saw him. It was the night of my accident, remember? And I spent a good half hour waiting by my car at the roadside. Ben drove past quite slowly, heading north, towards your house.
You're sure?
I'd know him anywhere. Oh, but I just can't believe that Ben would... Oh, God.
What's the matter?
It isn't something that's buried in your garden, is it? It's someone. Mark LeBeau, who's supposed to have died at sea 10 years ago.
But whose body was never recovered. We've cracked it, Louise. We've got to the truth at last.
One more thing. I know where they'll be keeping Paula.
Eh?
In the German bunker.
Yes, but where the hell is it?
Underneath the folly out there in the garden.
Right. One final favour, Louise. Phone Police HQ on 45656 and ask for Sergeant Michel. Tell him to get here straight away. You'll find me at the bunker.
If you'd care to sit still for a moment, Mrs. Hammond, I'll remove the gag.
Mm.
That's better. There you go. I can't untie you, of course. I'm sure you'll understand. A sip of water?
No.
Please yourself. You can scream if you like, but no one will hear you. We're four floors down and these walls are meters thick.
This is the German bunker, isn't it?
Correct.
And you must be Ben LeBeau. Why are you doing this?
To save my skin. Also, I suppose, in some small measure, to protect the family name. Prolong the myth that the LeBeau have always been on the side of the angels.
Myth?
Oh, yes. My family's been here at Sorel since the Middle Ages. My ancestor, Philippe LeBeau, was granted the fief and became seigneur in 1160. He had his own little private gallows to hang his tenants from. It was here, very close to this spot, in 1626, when a vast crowd assembled to see a witch hanged and burned. We'd never been very nice people, but we did know how to survive. Now my mother devotes vast sums to charity in memory of my father, who was a bully and a rake.
And you, what are you?
Oh, I'm clever. Quiet efficiency, that's me. I just get on with things. Which brings me to the business on hand. I can't let you go, Mrs. Hammond. You won't feel anything, I promise. Shotguns are messy, but they do a quick job. There. Both barrels, just to make sure. Oh, would you like me to cover your eyes? No. Right. I'm deeply sorry, Mrs. Hammond. On the count of three. One... Two.
You'll have to shoot us both.
Richard!
That can be arranged, Mr. Hammond. It is Mr. Hammond, I presume.
Richard, go! Please!
It's all right, Paula.
If you'll kindly step this way.
You want to add murder to the list of charges, Ben? It won't help you. The police are on their way.
I'm sure they are.
It's true. And I've given them all the facts. So why don't you just hand over the gun?
Now, that's far enough. Stay right where you are.
Ben.
One barrel each.
Don't do it. It's not worth it. You'll never get off the island.
Who's first?
I am.
Yes, best to start with you, I think. Okay, time to say goodbye.
Richard!
Paula.
Hello, sweetheart, I'm here.
Where's here?
The garden at Peacock's. We got you out into the fresh air.
Oh. Who's we?
Hi.
Dave, you didn't waste any time.
We were already halfway here. Hazel sang like a bird. You see, police procedures do work sometimes.
This is no time for a commercial, Dave. My head's splitting. What happened?
You fainted. You hit your head on the floor as you fell.
Fainted?
Not all that surprising. There's a guy pointing a shotgun at your head. You see him squeezing the trigger. You hear a shot. And if you can't pass out then can you?
But if... Oh! If I heard a shot and... My shirt's all splattered with blood.
Ben's.
Ben's? Oh!
No, keep still. Oh. Keep still. There's a bump on your head the size of an Easter egg.
Yeah, twice as pretty.
Look, will somebody kindly tell me what happened?
It was Marigold.
Eh?
She appeared in the doorway just as Ben was about to fire. She had a revolver. She
drilled a neat little hole in the back of his head.
She saved our lives?
Yes.
Where is she now?
She turned the gun on herself.
And they're both still in the bunker.
Dead?
Oh, yes.
After she'd shot Ben, she gave me such a sad smile. And she said, "Bad seed." She seemed so composed and that...
Oh, well, I suppose I better go and view the bodies.
Oh, you'll only faint again.
No, I won't. I'll just quietly chuck up in the corner. But I'm afraid it goes with the job. Oh, Dave, that reminds me.
Hmm?
Would you arrange for someone to pick up Desmond Dean? He lives up the road from us at a house called Blanche Pierre.
Desmond?
Yes. Dear old Desmond is in this up to his neck. And what's more, it looks like he's the only one left alive who can give us all the answers.
We need to go back 12 years. I was chief accounts clerk at DL, Mark LeBeau's import-export company. I'd recently married Imogen, and we moved into Blanche Pierre. Imogen was suffering from incipient folly to grandeur. We were living beyond our means. I was in debt up to my eyeballs. So I began to indulge in a little... creative accounting.
You mean you fiddled the books?
Well, seems safe enough. Mark was all the way, conquering Everest or whatever. And Marigold took little interest in the day-to-day running of the company, and I thought I'd be able to repay what I borrowed before I was rumbled. Well, I was wrong. Marigold found out. But she agreed to say nothing, provided I made some effort at restitution.
Go on.
Well, it was hopeless, of course. There was no way of curbing Imogen's extravagance. So I began to dabble in a rather lucrative sideline.
Drugs?
Yes. Not on a large scale, you understand. Just enough to pay the bills. And for a couple of years, that's how things went on. Then, one night, I received an urgent phone call from Marigold. I was to drive over to Peacock straight away. When I got there, I found Mark lying dead in the sitting room with a bullet hole in his forehead. Ben was sobbing in a chair, and Marigold, cool as a cucumber, was cleaning a revolver, Mark's revolver, which he always kept in a drawer in his bureau. Marigold explained that Mark had found evidence that Ben was on drugs. The boy was barely 14 at the time. Mark had got into a fury and had started slamming into them both.
He blamed Marigold?
Apparently. Though I'm sure she had known nothing about it.
Was there evidence of a struggle?
Oh, yes, yes. Marigold's face was bruised and bloody. Mark did have a violent temper. Anyway, as a last resort, Marigold went for the gun and was finally forced to use it.
In self-defense?
Possibly even by accident. I didn't ask too many questions. I just started to phone the police. But,
Yes?
Marigold said no. She'd already worked out a plan to cover up the whole sordid business. She was going to stage a boating accident. Mark was going to drown, and she would survive to tell the tragic tale. My job...
was to dispose of the body?
Yes. Well, of course, I refused, but... Well, Marigold promised that if I made a good job of it, she'd promote me to managing director of DL and pay me a salary to match. Also, well, I felt a certain obligation. It seemed likely that Ben had got into drugs indirectly, at least, through me, so finally I agreed. We wrapped Mark in a tarpaulin, bundled him into the boot of my car, and off I went. Well, how the hell does one dispose of a body? I mean, I drove around for hours trying to think of a way. Should I burn him, bury him? I simply didn't know what to do for the best. And then...
You saw a for sale sign outside an isolated house just down the road from your own. And you went in and buried him in the rose bed in the back garden.
Well, I couldn't bury him at Peacock's, could I? I mean, that'd be the first place you lot would look if you've got a sniff of foul play. And Imogen was giving a party at Blanchepierre. It seemed the perfect solution. I'd arranged for the company's solicitor to buy the house first thing the following morning. However, as you know, that isn't the way it worked out.
The Hammonds had got it first.
And were not open to offers. Otherwise, it had all gone rather well. It was generally accepted that Mark had been drowned, and everyone commiserated with the disconsolate widow. Ben was sent off to the mainland, first secretly to a private nursing home to get him off the drugs, and then to one of the top schools. Marigold established the Mark LeBeau Foundation in honour of her heroic husband, and withdrew from the social scene, choosing to live as a semi-recluse at Peacock's. And I was installed as managing director at DL with a salary not far short of six figures.
All very tidy.
Of course, I made it my business to cultivate the friendship of my charming new neighbours, so that if they had any plans for the garden, which might lead to the discovery of Mark's body, Desmond would be among the first to hear. In fact, I was lucky. They built a rockery on the very spot. I even gave them a hand. And then 10 years later, my luck ran out.
We decided to install a swimming pool.
And if you went ahead, there was no doubt that Mark's body would be discovered and identified. The secret would be out. I think you know the rest.
Just about.
Richard, believe me, it wasn't my idea to burn down your house.
Whose then? Marigold's?
Ben's.
How had Ben got involved?
Well, Ben never lost his interest in drugs. He wasn't hooked himself anymore, but... Well, he masterminded an operation extended into Pakistan and Hong Kong.
Yes, I'm beginning to see the light. The stuff got to the mainland via Jersey, didn't it? Via the LeBeau Company. And you were in that, too.
Yes.
Desmond, why?
Money. Ladies like Imogen don't come cheap.
Can we get back to the facts?
Right, we come to the night of your barbecue, Richard. I was in the middle of shifting a consignment of heroin to the mainland. It should have gone by ferry as usual, but there was a strike. And Ben didn't want to risk sending it by air. There was a whisper that customs had got a tip-off and would be on the lookout. So, Ben found these two chaps in Southampton he thought he could rely on.
Hazel and Channon.
That's right. They were to come over in Channon's boat, put into the cove of Peacocks under the cover of darkness, pick up the consignment, and deliver it to Ben off the coast near Southampton.
Then you got two bits of news at the party.
Quite.
The first was that we were going to build a pool, and the second...
That our two idiots had attempted a robbery on a supermarket here in St. Helier, and one had been arrested.
By me.
Small world.
I contacted Ben that same evening from your house. Ben said he could rely on Hazel to keep quiet because he knew if he didn't, something nasty would happen to his girlfriend. But Ben was worried about the possibility of his father being discovered. That was a blast from the past he could well do without. So he suggested we should turn the supermarket robbery to our own advantage. He said, if you started receiving threats about Hazel, you were bound to think they'd come from his accomplice.
Which we did.
You wrote the notes, Mr. Dean.
I did.
And the phone call? The one you took?
Well, it was a wrong number. You see, it seemed too good an opportunity to miss.
So where did Mrs. LeBeau come into all this?
I phoned her that night as well. Well, I felt you ought to be told.
And it was her idea to offer us the West Wing.
Oh, yes. Yes, she wanted no more violence. But when it didn't work, she agreed we had no choice but to burn down your house. It wasn't intended that Paula and Martin should be put in danger. That was Ben's idea. He wanted to get it over and done with.
And the kidnapping.
That was Ben, too. Though, I had to give him a hand.
Did he tell you he intended to shoot Paula?
Yes. We both agreed that with Paula out of the way, you'd probably stay on at West Wing and all plans for the pool be abandoned. I should have tried to stop him. I didn't have the guts. I'm sorry.
Hold still.
Paula, that hurts.
Be brave. It's only cold water. Best thing for bumps on the head. I still don't understand how you knew about Desmond.
Marigold put this place on the market the morning after the barbecue. And the barbecue was the first time we'd told anyone we were planning to build a pool.
So Marigold must have been told by someone who was at the party.
Right.
But why Desmond? Could have been Piers.
No. Piers would never have kidnapped you. He fancies you far too much. And Louise was largely instrumental in helping me solve the crime. She's not just a pretty face, you know. Oh!
Sorry. This is very painful.
It hurts like hell.
Pain.
What's funny?
I have a strange sense of having been here before, only last time it was your eye. A few more years of centenaring and there won't be a bit of you left whole.
Could that be an oblique way of asking me to pack it all in? Because if you want, I will.
Really?
Hmm.
Why the sudden change of heart?
Isn't it obvious?
Because this time it affected Marty and me.
It didn't just affect you, Paula. You might have been killed.
I wasn't, though, was I?
Well, no, but...
Now, so let's be positive about it. We're alive. Perhaps even closer than ever.
Sweetheart.
And we're getting a new house with a swimming pool. And you've cleaned up a supermarket robbery, a 10-year-old murder, and a flourishing drug trafficking ring. So, the way I see it is... Why quit when we're ahead?
That was The Deep End by Alan Downer, with Neil Dixon as Richard Hammond and Rosalind Adams as Paula. Martin Hammond was played by Benjamin Ramsland, Marigold LeBeau by Petra Davis, Desmond Dean by Reginald Marsh, Piers Dupuy by Dominic Rickards, Louise Cabot by Cara Kelly, Ben LeBeau by Ian Mickey, and Ron Hazel by Michael Deeks. Philip Sully played Detective Sergeant Michel, and Ken Cumberledge, Detective Constable LePape. The Deep End was directed by David Johnston.